For the church, 9:30 to 9:40, somewhere around in there, if you can make it. Ladies pray over here in this here room, and the men pray in the second room off of the Spanish class and in between the church office over there. We pray and spend some time together in the Lord, enjoying seeing people go to the throne room of God. And then every Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, the whole church meets here in this section over here, if you're able to. And we spend 10-12 minutes in prayer there with the Lord on behalf of our nation, our community, our church, and just spending a little time learning to pray. I mean, that's just, to be honest with you, that is one of the most difficult things that Christians do, is pray. I don't know what it is about it. I do know it's the spiritual aspect of it, but the devil fights when people want to pray. He fights when people want to read the Bible. He fights whenever you want to talk with somebody about the things of God. There's always that fight. So come and join us at those prayer times. We'd love to have you. Don't forget the men's prayer breakfast this Saturday coming up. This Saturday coming up. Sign up on the sheet over here so they'll know how much to cook for. Last month we had a good showing of folks that came out to be a part of that. So there will be several out because of travel. So if you can make it and have not made it, please come and be a part of that prayer breakfast this Saturday. Let's go to the book of John. John chapter number 12. Good to have visitors with us this morning. Thank you for visiting with us. I hope you have a blessed time as you're here in church with us this morning. We know you could have worshipped anywhere this morning, but you came and worshipped with us here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. We're glad to see you and hope you have a blessed time during that. Good to see Jared. Jared, are you growing a mustache? Are you?
Yeah.
Well, praise God. Boy, man with facial hair. If you don't have facial hair, nothing against you. Good to see some manly young men. We need manly young men. We got a nation of sissies running around here now. I done made somebody mad, Brother Jacobs, already. I heard it. I hear that wind suck in. I know you're mad at it. Hey, God created a man and men and women, boys and girls. Get them boys off them game stations, put a fishing pole in their hand and a shovel and stick them out in the yard and leave them there for a while. And no, ladies, I don't think you need to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. I know where you think. I know how you think already. That's not what I'm saying. Some of these young girls around here, I think, could whoop some of these boys. John chapter number 12. Let's move on before we get in trouble. We started a series last week on Let God Arise. And we talked about the beginning of the series and that's the start. And now we're going to, today's thought is Let God Arise in our praise. In our praise. I want you to pay close attention to me this morning, because we in our religious circles are running rampant with what is not true praise. Okay, well, I want you to bear with me a little bit. You might leave here a little bit mad at me today, but I promise you what I say in love, and I say in tenderness, and I say with the backing of the Word of God. Now, praise must first, and true adoration must first begin with a true heart, with a pure heart. You know, and we're going to see this here, that man worship isn't going to cut it. It's not going to cut it at all. John chapter 12 and verse 12. John chapter 12 and verse number 12. The Bible says there in John 12, verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sit thereon, as is written, Fear not, daughters of Zion. Behold, the King cometh sitting on an ass's coat. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. Verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Now, as we consider this portion of the passage and understanding that these are the last days of the earthly ministry of Christ. These are the last days. Listen, it is difficult for me to comprehend that the followers of Christ on this particular passage were throwing palm branches and they were saying, Hosanna, blesses the King. And 1 week later, crucify him. Crucify him. I'm just amazed at the fickleness of those that follow Christ. And it's even so in our day and age. It seems as though we want someone that will tickle our ears, that will bring a message with honey dripping off their tongue and and speaking sweet and swelling things and positive things. Listen, I'm not against sweet things. I'm not against positive things. Not at all. But I am for the Word of God being preached and taught as it is written. Amen. Now, easy words and avoiding scriptures that are difficult in the day and age which we live in may bring folks to the house of God. Amen. But getting folks to the house of God is not going to get them to heaven by itself. We got to get people to Jesus. We got to get people to understand that Jesus came to die for sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now listen, I'm a pastor. I pastor a church. I desire for people to be at the house of God. I'm not saying that we'll just throw out the church and get away from the church. I'm just telling you this. There's a lot of religious people that come to church that know not Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. And we're going to see this in this passage. Now, they praised Him at this triumphant entry. And 1 week later, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. Now, as we look at this and understand John chapter 12, public interest in Jesus was at an all-time high right now. I mean, everybody was excited. The Passover was about to take place. There was multitudes. Someone said that there was somewhere close to 2 million people that were gathering in to Jerusalem because the Passover was about to take place. Now, chapter 11, if you'll remember, chapter 11 records how that Lazarus was brought forth out of the grave after being dead for 4 days. That's what chapter 11 is all about. Now, they've moved in here to chapter 12. This is an amazing thing about religious people. Religious people are very, in the beginning, excited about, feelings. And emotions. Emotions, dear friend, are like a flat tire. Emotions are only good when you're feeling okay. But soon as the air's gone out of the situation, the flat tire just humps along. Humpity hump, humpity hump, humpity hump. And that's how many Christians live, because they live day by emotions. And you cannot depend upon emotions. You cannot depend on emotions. Come and they go, and they come and they go. Look what it says in John chapter 12, in verse number 10. This is how, he was dead. Lazarus was dead 4 days in the grave. You think even Pharisees would be excited about somebody being raised from the dead. Here you go. Chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Chapter 12, verse number 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. I mean, can you understand what's going on here? Here's a man that has faced death. He's in the, listen, he wasn't asleep, he wasn't to, the Bible says, he stink, Lord, hey, we know that he is dead. Jesus said, roll the stone away. Lazarus, come forth. Here he come, bounding out. And Jesus said, loose the grave clothes off of him. He'd been there 4 days. Now, the chief priests, the religious people, hey, let's put Lazarus to death. I can't understand it. Did they not think if they did kill him that Jesus couldn't raise him again? I don't know what's going on in their mind. I don't know what's going on in their thinking. All I know is that religious people are very fickle. And then, listen, we're talking about letting God rise in our hearts in true praise. In a situation like this, I think you could find a lot of things to praise God about. I mean, I don't know about you, but he raised a man from the dead. They were excited because we read on, the next day in verse 12, he came into the feast and they cut these branches down and they threw them down, these palm branches. These palm branches there was a sign of victory. And as they came in, they was crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they were praising him. They were praising him loudly. They were praising him corporately. They were praising him all together there. But they were looking for a political leader. They were looking for someone that will overthrow the unrest in the nation that was placed upon them by the Roman government. They were not looking for a Messiah. Now we're in the midst of political season. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're dependent upon a donkey or an elephant, you better be looking for a lamb. Because Jesus is the only answer for America. Amen. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. They were looking for a political leader. They were looking for somebody that would move them along and not looking for a Messiah. And they were praising Jesus on how they perceived He would make their life better. I'm going to be honest with you, dear friend. I think even today, we in Christendom have our vision blurred by how we think Christ is going to make our everyday life better. And that if He doesn't make my life better on every day, then He truly must not be worthy of praise. Now, praise must come from a pure heart. A true heart. Now, praise is not how high you jump makes your heart pure. Praise isn't how high or how loud you clap makes you have a true heart. Praise is not how loud you say amen make you have a pure heart. Praise must come from a pure and true heart. They, at this particular time, were man-worshipping and man-praising. And man-praising Jesus. They missed it. I mean, 1 week later, they're crying, crucify Him. And you know as well as I do, if our heart's not right, and our heart is not true, and our heart's not pure, and things are not right with God in our heart, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The heart is wicked above all. Who can understand it? Who can comprehend how wicked the heart is? When our heart is not right with God, dear friend, He can work a great miracle today. And tomorrow we're saying, where's God? Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. And tomorrow, crucify this Christ. We're the same way. We're no different. No different. That's why we have to be very careful when we call something praise that is not from the true and pure heart. That it moves the body, it moves the emotions, it moves the environment. Listen, every song that's sung, every prayer that's prayed, every offering that's taken up in the house of God, every piano that is recited, pianist that plays up here, that prays, it must not be and it cannot be so that they are seen. But it's so that God may get the glory. And when we say amen, or you clap your hands, or you say, wow, what beautiful voices, without the message of the words pointing us to Christ, we've missed worship. We missed praise. Because Jesus is worthy of praise. And every soloist and every song that's sung and every group that sings here at our church or any church, for that matter, for anywhere, it should be for the glory of God. Not so that I'm singing, but so that when I do praise and I do worship Christ and I do use my talents and my gifts, that God is the one that's being glorified. Now, here in this passage that we read, you see the praise of the people. And it was all by false reasoning. It was all by false reasoning. Listen, we cannot allow the world and the carnality of the world to dictate what is true praise and true worship in the house of God. We cannot. Their reasoning was off. Their reasoning was in verse number 13. They took branches and palm trees and went out for to meet him, and he cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Look at verse 17. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus up out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear him record. They were not praising and worshiping him because he was the Son of God, the Lamb of God. They were praising and worshiping him because he had just raised somebody up from the grave, which was a great miracle. But he is worthy of praise regardless of what he does because of who he is. And sometimes the only way that we will say amen and the only way that we will praise is because somebody in their worship and in their song moves us emotionally. That is not from a true heart. That is from being entertained. Because regardless if they get up here and sing every word, every lyric, every tone, regardless of how they hold the mic and how they move their butt, regardless of all that, dear friend, that does not matter. If they mess up halfway through and can't finish the song, he is still worthy of praise. They said, "Man, they messed my morning service up because they didn't finish the song. They missed the tune. They missed the key. They didn't hit the right this and that." It is about entertainment and not about worshiping at that point. If I get up here and cannot even carry a complete thought throughout my sermon because I'm chasing this rabbit, chasing that rabbit, and you leave here and say, "Man, what in the world was preacher talking about?" God is not God because of who's back here. God is God because He is God. Now, we that are part of the choir, part of the piano music, the songs, the children's choir, the ensembles, the solos, the youth choir, the beautiful girlhood choir, we that are part of those groups must prepare and practice and put heart forward. Not so that we look good, but because He is worthy of the very best of all effort. I told you some of you are going to be a little upset this morning. Some of you, you just, listen, just because you get to come up here and sing doesn't make you spiritual. Just because I get to come up here and preach and bring the message in the morning service, Sunday evening service, doesn't make me spiritual. Sunday school teacher, because you're asked to teach a Sunday school class, because you put forth the persona of spirituality and you show faithfulness, doesn't make you spiritual. You have to work and put effort toward that. And by false reasoning, they were excited about Him coming. But 1 week later, you know what false reasoning does? False reasoning leads us from praising Him 1 week and forsaking Him the next. That's what false reasoning does. Not only did you have false reasoning in this praise session here, you had some very forgetful disciples. Verse 16. "These things understood not the disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of Him and that they had done these things unto Him." Many of us are just like the disciples. We forget the mountaintop experiences pretty fast. We forget when He met our needs 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and we forget very fast until He's glorified again. Do you understand what this is talking about? After He was glorified, this is talking about the death, the burial, the resurrection. That's when He was glorified. It took them knowing the resurrected Lord had happened and took place. Wow, that's what He was talking about, riding into town on an ass. Then they remembered these things. So the praise that we're talking about in service has to be from a true heart, a pure heart, because, and listen, there's many times we forget just how good God has been to us. Amen. And if you're going through that valley, down into the depths of that valley, God should arise in our praise as much in that valley as if I'm on the mountaintop. Sometimes, dear friend, we just get to the point where only if things are going good, only if things are going right, only if I've got everything I need and God has supplied every need and everything, then and then only is God worthy of praise. Soon as we hit that valley and we start sliding down into the slumps and we get down into the bottom, we are so easy to forget what God has done. So you have in this praise session, you have here some false reasoning by those around. They were praising Him because of the miracle He had done, not because of who He is. Why do you praise? Well, because everybody else is doing it. Well, because if I don't, then people won't think I'm spiritual. We need to praise Him because of who He is. And then we don't need to be forgetful of how good He really has been to us. Because I'll be honest with you, dear friend, my worst day on this earth will be the best that countless of thousands and millions have in eternity. Because not everybody's going to heaven. Not that Jesus didn't die for the world. For God so loved the world. He died for all. The Bible says that the grace of God has appeared to all men. All have opportunity. Just like the two thieves on the cross. Isn't that amazing? Both thieves had opportunity to go to heaven. They surely did. In the beginning, both of them, if you read and study the Scripture, both of them was like, what are you, I mean, they were reviling and they were speaking against him. Then one came to his senses and says, oh man, what are you talking about? We are justly accused. This man is innocent. Remember me this day. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Two thieves. Forgetful disciples. Listen, they were looking for a political leader to lead them out of this. And they forgot that he must be crucified. He must be crucified. Then you had these fretful leaders. Look at verse number 19. So all this in this praise session, all this is going on. And to tell you, dear friend, the same thing happens in our worships and praise times here today as well in our churches around us. You have people that worship for false reasoning. You have people that are forgetful about how good God really is. And then you have fretful leaders. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world, the world is gone after him. I mean, they were upset. Listen, If Jesus was ministering today, if his earthly ministry was taking place right here today in 2016, right here, if it was taking place, Jesus would not always be appreciated by the leaders of today. Here's some examples. The Food and Drug Administration would be after him because he turned water into wine without a license. To be honest with you, listen, the Environmental Protection Group, EPA, they would be after him because he killed a fig tree. Yeah, they would be after him. Listen, the American Medical Association for Practicing Medicine, they would be after Jesus because he healed people without a license. They wouldn't appreciate Jesus anymore today. Not at all. Listen, the Department of Health would be after him because he asked people to open up graves and he raised the dead and he fed 5,000 out in the wilderness without any washing places to wash their hands and to make themselves clean. They would be all up in arms. They would. There's some of you parents. Hey, it's okay with the... Listen, in my house, there is a 2-minute rule if something falls on the floor. Some of you, listen, y'all need to get off of that there. It fell on the floor. Pick it up, blow it off, and eat it. Jesus fed them out in the wilderness, and you know, in the midst, sent 5,000 men down, plus women and children. Do you think them mamas did have some, what was that crazy jail y'all running around here with? Say hands, sometimes. Y'all run around here, you know, y'all done cleaned off the fingerprints on your hands. Because I know we got medical people here. We got them over here, we got them back here. They would be after Jesus, dear friend. Listen, the National Education Association would certainly be after him because he was teaching without some kind of certificate. I'm just telling you, he would not be appreciated. What's that group? That safety group? OSHA. OSHA would be after him. I mean, he would be after him because he had people, while he was walking on water without a life jacket. They'd be after him because he was flying without an airplane. Oh yeah, he did fly. Look in Acts chapter number 1. He went up. He ascended. OSHA'd be after him. Listen, the society, PETA, and the preservation of cruelty for animals, they'd be after him because he told some hogs to go run off down the hill and they run off into some water and they died. Jesus would not be appreciated anymore today as he was back then. This one. The National Organization of Women's Society would certainly be after him. Because he didn't elect a woman apostle. Well, today would be up in arms. I mean, be mad. Let me tell you something, ladies. God made you the crown of creation. He took you out of the rib nearest to the heart of man. You're not a doormat. You're not. And it's okay to have a biblical place where God has placed you as a lady. Amen. And they wouldn't mind men just as half as much if you and I were be the men that we should be. Amen. And love them like Christ loved the church. Amen. Oh, the Abortion Rights League, they would truly be upset. Because Jesus said that it was better, whoever harms a child, it was better for that person not to even be born. They'd be upset. Oh yeah. Here's a good one. These interfaith movements. All these interfaith people, all these people who want to just have these conglomerations and let's do away with the teaching of Jesus. Let's not talk about Jesus. Hey, they would be really mad because he said, I am the way. Amen. They'd be upset. How about this one? How about this crazy zoning committees that we got in our counties? You build a porch out there for a $500 porch, you got to go get a $300 permit. They'd be mad at him because he's building mansions without permits. If Jesus was in the earth, he wouldn't be any more appreciated today. None. Fretful leaders. Here's a good one. Preachers. Pharisees. Oh, the whole world. They're not listening to me anymore. They're not following what I'm saying anymore. They're following the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. No wonder they was following Jesus. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Preachers would be all up in arms. Just telling you. He wouldn't be any more accepted today than he was back then. But it does not change the fact who Jesus is. And dear friend, we need to allow God to rise up in us and to praise Jesus, because there's no other name whereby men must be saved. Amen. It ain't by Lock Haven Baptist Church. It ain't by the Presbyterian Church. It's not by the Mormon Church. It's not by the Catholic Church. There was only one that died on the cross of Calvary. There was one that went down the grave. And there was one that rose again. And according to Scripture, dear friend, it is Jesus and Him alone. Amen. Him alone. Jesus made peace through the blood at the cross of Calvary. Because of the Lamb, He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. There was a preacher in a barbershop getting a haircut. And as the barber worked upon him, it became very evident that the barber was an atheist. Any conversation with the preacher said, "If you believe in this loving, kind God that you say that exists, why would He allow so much suffering and violence?" And about that time, out in the front of the window, came a man walking down that was a homeless guy. Beard all scraggly, hair scraggly. And the preacher said to him, "You're a barber, aren't you?" "He said, yeah. Went to school. Got certificates. So you say you're a good barber, right?" He said, "Yeah." "Why do you allow that man to go unkempt? Why do you allow him to not have a good haircut and a good shape?" He said, "Well, he won't give me a chance." And he said, "That's what's wrong with society. They won't give God a chance." Just because an atheist doesn't believe there's not a God, doesn't make God not worthy of his praise. Just because your day may get a little rain on it, doesn't mean God is not worthy of praise. And to be quite honest with you, when things aren't going so well and things aren't going so right and things are just seems to be weighing you down, at that moment, when you praise God, the Son of God, I believe the Father takes great notice in your suffering and in your pain. Because it's easy to be fair weather friends. It's real easy to be fair weather friends. We have to get to the point where we are praising Jesus for who He is, not what He's done. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is on her way. Brother Jim's going to lead us in the song of invitation. Perhaps this morning in the house of God today, there's somebody who doesn't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Without knowing Jesus as your Savior, you have no idea how to even begin to praise Him for who He is. If you're lost today, would you come and let us take the Bible and let us show you how you can know that you have a home in heaven because of what Jesus did.